shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come.
Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Well, welcome everybody to Monday's edition of End of the Age. I'm Dave Robbins, filling in for Irvin Baxter today. He's actually in London on a layover, traveling down to Israel. He'll be in Israel for the next couple weeks at our Jerusalem Prophecy College and taking everybody. We're taking about 85 people, I think, on the tour this time. So we do two tours a year. They're already signing up people for the spring tour where we're going to go to Israel and Rome. And so if you'd like to join them on that tour, you can call over the next couple days. And then my wife, Jana, daughter, Holly, will be traveling to Israel this Thursday to meet Irvin to take the 85 people over there. So if you'd like to join up, you can get them hold of them in the next couple days or in a couple weeks when they get back on November 7th and on. So I'm happy to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. And I want to talk to you today about the election that's coming up. We're about 15 days away from the election day, November the 8th, and I know most of you, or a lot of you, are voting early. Some people have already voted, and so this is kind of a very unique election year. We want to talk about that today, where some of the different candidates stand, and maybe talk about some of them. I'll spend a little time on some of the issues that are some of the most important to us. But I don't think that the candidates could be more divided this year. One of them is pro-life, and the other is pro-choice. One is pro-gun, while the other is absolutely anti-gun. One believes that global warming is a hoax, and the other claims that the science is settled, that there's global warming heating up the planet and leading to climate change, and the science is absolutely settled on that. One candidate wants to build a wall all the way across between the United States and Mexico, while the other is essentially for opening the borders. One believes in traditional marriage between a man and a woman, while the other supports same-sex marriage in every way. And of course, the list goes on and on. You've heard the debates and listened to the news. Well, each of these issues is certainly important, and it should be considered before making a final decision. Which way do you want America to go? That's how you'll vote. We vote the issues. And it'll help you make a final decision on who to vote for over the next couple weeks. However, for those who follow prophecy, this upcoming election goes beyond that. Knowing that a world government is prophesied for the near future, one of the areas that we follow around here very closely is the ongoing process of globalization, or moving us towards the global governing system. And it is possible that this upcoming election will set the course of the United States of America on a path towards either full involvement in or total dissension from this prophesied world governing body. In other words, one of the candidates will probably lead us straight into that, and one of them, if they do what they say they're going to do, is pull us out of that. It's a decision you have to make over the next couple weeks. If everyone really understood the prophecies concerning the future global political authority, the world government, the entire election would really be determined on that issue alone. And that is why we chose to devote an entire article to that subject in our recent End Time magazine. One entire article is devoted just to globalism. And yes, of course, one candidate is vehemently opposed to globalization, which is a good thing, while the other supports it in every way. So, since the next president of the United States will serve at least a 4-year term, and quite possibly 8, we thought it would be important really to let you see where each candidate stands on the important issues. Why? Well, with all of the prophecies converging at the same time, it is likely that the next president will be in office during some of the most significant prophetic fulfillments concerning the end time in the last 2,000 years. And, you know, although there are more technical issues at hand, i.e., let's say taxes, infrastructure, job creation, things like that, these do not necessarily show the character of an individual. That is why we have chosen the more defining topics, which really let us see the person behind the persona. What are they putting out there in the media and on these debates, and what's the person really all about? So basically, in our opinion, I want to discuss today what are the most critical issues. And now, before I dive off into that, abortion is going to be one of the first things I talk about, and I'm going to spend some time there. But before I get to that, I want to stop right here and I want to mention one thing. Our End of the Age program, actually, we have a television program that we're on every week. Where are we at? Well, we're on the TBN network every Friday evening from 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time, and we're on the Daystar Network on Sunday evenings at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central Time. So for more information on other stations that what we're on, End of the Age, go to endtime.com and click on Broadcasts and then go to the schedule. It's an awesome radio program. We're on all over the place. So again, we're on TBN every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time, and we're on the Daystar Network on Sunday evenings at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central Time. I know that you guys will really like it, but I know that a lot of people, if you've joined us on our radio audience, you don't even know we're on TV. If you're watching us on TV, you don't know we're on the radio, or you've watched us online, or some of you have, you know, you've subscribed to our magazine for years and don't know we're on TV. So we want to make sure that you guys catch us on each one of these outreach avenues. It's so cool, and it will keep you up to date on what's going on according to the prophecies of the Bible using current events. So one of the first issues that I want to cover today, and remember, I'm not going to talk about taxes and all these different issues like that, job creation. I know those are important, but I want to talk about the defining issues of the candidate, because like I said, I know that people who are going to vote early, they're already voting. And over the next couple weeks, a lot of people will start to vote. And then, of course, November 8th is when the main election day will happen. And that's when all the lines will be 3 or 4 blocks long. And now everybody can get in there and stand in line and fight each other. That's part of the election process. But today I want to talk about the very important issues. What defines the person? What are they going to do? What do they think? What do they think about the major issues that define them? What's that's behind the persona? And so the first one I'm going to discuss today is abortion. Now, when I hear the debates, they talk about abortion and it's kind of like, oh, this one's for abortion, this one's against abortion, and let's sweep that aside and go right on to the next issue. Let's talk about taxes. Well, I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to spend a little time on abortion because I want abortion, the topic of abortion, to sink into the fiber of each individual. Because and honestly, if I didn't get to another topic today, which I think I will in the last segment, but I want to make sure that we let the abortion, think about an abortion and what it means to God. Number one, how does God view abortion in your life? We're talking about electing the next president of the United States, who will appoint possibly 2, 3, or even 4 during their term, depending on how long they stay in office, will elect 2, 3, or even 4 of the Supreme Court justices, which could overturn possibly some of the laws concerning abortion. So it's very important, how do you feel about abortion yourself as, let's say, a Christian individual or somebody who just believes in the right to life? How do you view abortion? When they talk about it in a presidential debate, they might spend a couple sentences on it and then go on. But I want to let it really sink in today, abortion. Think about that and what happens during an abortion. A living human being is put to death in an abortion. How does God view that? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Now, I'm talking about the issues of the two candidates we have left for the president of the United States. One is pro-abortion. One is against abortion. So how does God view that? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 states, and this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then there's a key phrase here that I'm going to focus on, without natural affection. Now, this is referring to a homosexual lifestyle. One aspect of it is without natural affection. So you think about that. A male doesn't have a natural affection as towards a woman, how God defined it, but they have a dreamed up affection towards another male. That's what one of the aspects of this scripture. In the last days, there will be people that are without natural affection. But it's also referring to a parent's natural affection to a child or a mother and that child. So think about it. It's also referring to abortion. Now, do you really understand abortion? Moving along, do you understand abortion? Think about that. According to the Oxford Dictionaries, abortion is the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy, most often performed during the first 28 weeks. Now, by this week, by the 28th week, a baby weighs about 2.25 pounds and measures 14.8 inches from the top of its head to the heels. So if it's a girl, think about a baby girl. She can already blink her eyes, and they already have eyelashes. And with her eyesight developing, she may even be able to see the light that filters in through the womb of the mother. She's also developing billions of neurons in her brain and adding more body fat in preparation for life in and outside, in the womb for the outside world. So this baby is well along into being developed at 28 weeks, and yet the dictionary defines an abortion as a termination of life up to 28 weeks. And of course we know that one of the candidates believes in and supports late-term abortion or a partial birth abortion, and which is just ungodly for me to think about, but you got to talk about it. In a debate, they just talk about, well, abortion, are you pro or against? Well, I'm against it, I'm for it. Okay, next subject. And they just scoot right over the fact that a child is being put to death. And so it's very, very important that we talk about that today. Over the years, since 1973, 55 to 60 million abortions have occurred in the United States since Roe versus Wade in 1973. 55 to 60 million. That's about roughly the same amount of people that died in World War I and World War II combined. So it's ghastly to think about that, how many lives have been taken simply because a so-called accident happened or an individual decided they didn't want the baby. We got to think about this. We got to talk about that. How do we want our laws governed in this nation? What direction do we want this nation to go in? You see how important that these issues are when you get right down to them on the ground floor? What's the definition of these things? What's the impact? How does God think about all this? Forget the fact of an elected official somewhere. What does God see in the direction that this nation is heading, and is He happy with that? If He's not, we need to ask ourselves, do we need to change? The Bible's not going to change, but do we need to change our thinking in the decisions that we make in our life? We absolutely do. We've got to change our mind to line up with the Bible. And if you think about it, abortion doesn't line up with the Bible. Think about that. So let's talk about the candidates. Trump, he says he's pro-life. A question was asked, Mr. Trump, are you pro-life? He said, yes, it's an issue. I mean, it's an issue and it's a strong issue. What I'm saying is this, with caveats, life of the mother, incest, rape, that's where I stand. So Mr. Trump says, I'm pro-life, but with caveats. You have to have it with caveats. Pregnancy, they ask him, pregnancy outside of those caveats? Mr. Trump stated, well, it depends. Why? I'm pro-life. Very simply, pro-life. Now, if we talk about, a lot of people bring up the fact that, well, in the case of rape and incest, it would be okay for an individual to have an abortion. Well, according to Focus on the Family, abortions are attributed to rape and incest, that represents 1.5% of all the abortions. 1.5%. That means above and beyond that, an individual pretty much elected just to have the abortion. And so it's very, very critical that we look at some of these issues. Donald Trump said, well, friends of mine years ago were going to have a child, and they made the decision to abort it. But then they made a decision, for some reason or another, not to abort it. And that child today is a total superstar, a great, great child. And I saw that happen. And I saw other instances. And so Donald Trump stated, I am very, very proud to say that today, as he's running for the president of the United States, I am pro-life. Well, Hillary Clinton is pro-choice. She stated, so as a senator, Hillary Clinton voted against the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003. She has stated, the unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. Well, how does God view that? Well, in Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, it says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So if you wonder, how does God think about it? He sees us as we're being, as He is molding us with His hands in our mother's womb. God has got His hands upon us already. So how do you think God views abortion? Yeah, I have to think about that, because that is one of the issues in this presidential election. Hillary Clinton went on to state, I believe we need to protect access to safe and legal abortion, not just in principle, but in practice. Politicians have no business interfering with a woman's personal health decisions. I will oppose efforts to roll back women's access to reproductive health care, including Republican efforts to defund Planned Parenthood. As president, I'll stand up for Planned Parenthood and women's access to critical health services, including safe, legal abortions. Now, I want to talk to you, as a result of that statement, I want to talk to you about an article concerning the Planned Parenthood's manipulated data to cover up the fact that abortion, not women's health care, accounts for the lion's share of the corporation's services for pregnant women. Comes from the LifeSite News. And you know that you've heard of them say, well, abortion is just a real small, maybe 3% of what Planned Parenthood does. Those are totally skewed numbers. Contrary to the repeated claims by Planned Parenthood executives, mainstream media, and abortion advocates that abortion only accounts for about 3% of its services, one in eight Planned Parenthood patients gets an abortion. The corporation commits over 30% of the nation's abortions, over 320,000 abortions every year, or one abortion every 97 seconds. To justify its $500 million in taxpayer funding, Planned Parenthood downplays abortion, falsely claiming that it only makes up 3% of its business, and instead plays up its cancer screenings and so-called women's health care. However, Planned Parenthood's own numbers prove it's an abortion corporation focused on abortion, not on women's health care. And Planned Parenthood doesn't perform a single mammogram, and it performs less than 2% of all women's cancer screenings in the United States. Yet it commits over 30% of America's abortions. Planned Parenthood is so focused on abortion that it aborts 160 children for every one child that it refers for adoption. If a woman with an unwanted pregnancy goes to Planned Parenthood, that child is 160 times more likely to be poisoned or dismembered than to be put up for adoption to a waiting family. Now, how does God view this? Well, Jeremiah 1, chapter 4 through verses 4 through 5 states, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," this is Jeremiah, "before I was formed, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." So God does not look approvingly on an abortion. And remember, don't be fed the lie that, well, the majority of abortions happen because of incest and rape and this, that, and the other. According to Focus on the Family, that's only 1.5% of all the abortions that occur. So it's very, very critical that we understand the issues in this election. Now, moving on to climate change. What does Mr. Trump believe on climate change? Well, he believes it's a hoax. On December 30, 2015, Trump told the crowd at a rally in Hilton Head, South Carolina, that Obama's talking about all of this with the global warming and stuff, and it's just a lot of hoax. It's a hoax. I mean, it's a money-making industry, okay? It's a hoax, a lot of it. He went on to say that in an energy policy speech in North Dakota on May 26, 2016, Trump stated, "We need to rescind all of the job-destroying Obama executive actions, including the Climate Action Plan. We're going to cancel the Paris Climate Agreement and stop all payments of U.S. dollars to the U.N. global warming programs." So Donald Trump thinks it's a hoax. Hillary Clinton says that the science is settled. She states, "It's hard to believe that people running for president refuse to believe the settled science of climate change. If you go talk to scientists," she says, "I am really tired of the debate, which is a phony debate. Climate change is real, it's here, and it has to be dealt with." So if you think about that, you look at climate change. Climate change has been proven time and time again to be fake. It is a complete, total hoax dreamed up by the United Nations to be a scare tactic that they can use to redistribute the world's wealth from developed nations to underdeveloped nations. It's a socialistic principle. The United Nations is a socialistic entity. And so when you think about it, people that believe it's a hoax, they're anti-socialistic because they understand it's a wealth redistribution scheme. People who are pro-global warming, pro-climate change and believe in all that and push that, socialistic principles. And so you got to think about that. Do I want to move into a socialistic lane or do I want to go down the other path? These are the issues that you have to think about when you're coming up to an election. Now, you can if you decide, hey, I want to go down the socialistic route, then you know who to vote for. You go down that route. It's whatever. It's your decision at the end of the day. And so these are the things that we're dealing with. These are the issues that we're looking at. The most important issues in this upcoming election that define the person, not necessarily what that on like the technical things. It's these are what really define the issues of each person. Now, I know we're coming up to a break. I'm not going to dive off into the next one because I would never finish it. But in the last 30 minutes of the program, if you're just joining us or if you've tuned in for the first 30 minutes, I'm going over because we only have a couple weeks left in the election. And a lot of you are voting early. And I wanted you to understand where the candidates stand on key issues. It's very, very critical that you understand. A lot of times you can read through these charts and things and you don't get a full grasp of really what's at stake here. But we need to understand what are the issues. So if you go to endtime.com, you can join me for the next 30 minutes of the program, and I'll be covering a lot more issues, gun control and all kinds of stuff, world government, the United Nations. And so join me for the next 30 minutes, and we'll cover a lot of these topics. I'll get as many done as I can. And thank you for joining me today.
From Here to Armageddon, a new exciting 8-lesson series to share with your friends and family. Order yours right away.
Answering many questions like, how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? Your questions answered in this exciting 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon.
Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-END-TIME, 1-800-363-8463. Order yours right away.
Who would have thought it that the Berlin Wall is right there in the prophecies of the Bible? I'm holding here a chunk of the Berlin Wall. A friend of mine was in Berlin the night that the wall fell, November 9, 1989. He cut a piece of the wall for himself, twice as large. He was kind enough to cut it in half. He had read my book, A Message for the President, in which I had stated 3 years before this that the Berlin Wall would come down, the two Germanys would be reunited, and that would be the event that would mark the beginning of the one world governmental system called the New World Order.
Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME to order The Berlin Wall in Bible Prophecy.
If your radio station only carries the first 30 minutes of End of the Age, go to endtime.com and click the watch button to continue today's broadcast. You can also finish up later by clicking the archives button.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And I know we're talking about today some very critical and sensitive issues about where each presidential candidate stands. Many of you are going to vote early, and we're only 2 weeks away. A lot of early voting is happening now as we speak and leading up to the election day, November 8th. And so I wanted to make sure that you understood a lot of the critical issues where each candidate stands. It's very, very important because, like I say, a lot of times you can read an article or you can look through one of the charts and it doesn't really give you a full explanation. So I wanted to kind of tell you in the candidate's own words A lot of the, I just wrote a big article about this in End Times September, October issue. If you'd like to read the article, you can go there and look at all of the critical issues that we have and look at how each candidate stands. And also, if you'd like a copy of my notes today, where I go down through a lot of the issues and tell you where each candidate stands in their own words, email me, drobbins@endtime.com, and I'll send you a copy of my notes, because it's very, very key. In other words, when we talk about abortion, we just don't want to say, well, one's pro-abortion, one's pro-life, and then go on. There's a whole lot more to it than that. As you can see, I just skimmed the treetops of what we just talked about in the beginning of the program. There's a whole lot more to the abortion issue. Number one, what does God think about that? That's the question we need to ask at the end of the day. Is God pro or against that? And so that's what we need to talk about in a lot of these issues. But and I'm going to try to get done as many of these as we can, so we'll just dive off right back into it. In gun control, it's a very heated debate. What's going to happen to my guns? A lot of guys want to know. Because my ability to defend myself. You say, well, hold on a minute. I thought it was all about hunting and sport shooting. No, that's not why we have the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, number one, is to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government, but it also allows you, an individual, the right to keep and bear arms to protect your family and protect your property. And then, of course, yeah, it's for hunting and clay pigeon shooting, things like that. But the number one reason is not just for hunting and sporting things. It's to protect you and your family and America from a tyrannical government. So let's look at the candidates. Trump says he's pro-gun. This is what he states in his own words. The Second Amendment is to our Constitution is clear. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, moving on, shall not be infringed upon, period. The Second Amendment guarantees a fundamental right that belongs to all law-abiding Americans. The Constitution doesn't create that right. It ensures that the government can't take it away. Our founding fathers knew, and our Supreme Court has upheld, that the Second Amendment's purpose is to guarantee our right to defend ourselves and our families. And this is about self-defense, plain and simple. It's been said that the Second Amendment is America's first freedom. That's because the right to keep and bear arms protects all of our rights. And we are the only country in the world that has a Second Amendment. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton is anti-gun. George Stephanopoulos asked her, "Do you believe that an individual's right to keep and bear arms is a constitutional right, that it's not linked to service in a militia?" Hillary Clinton replied, "I think that for most of our history, there was a nuanced reading of the Second Amendment until the decision by the late Justice Antonin Scalia. And there was no argument until then that localities and states and the federal government had a right, as we do with every amendment." This is very, very critical. She said that federal governments had a right, as we do with every amendment, to impose reasonable regulations on those amendments. So she states, "So I believe we can have a common sense gun safety measures consistent with the Second Amendment, but I'm going to continue to speak out for comprehensive background checks, closing the gun show loophole, closing the online loophole, closing the so-called Charleston loophole, and reversing the bill that Senator Bernie Sanders voted for and I voted against, giving immunity from liability to all gun makers and sellers. So I think that that can and should have been done, and it is, in my view, consistent with the Constitution." She goes on to state, "When it comes to guns, we have just too many guns," she says, "on our streets and in our homes and in our neighborhoods." She says, "I am not here to make promises I can't keep. I am here to tell you I will use every single minute of every day, if I am so fortunate enough to be your president, looking for ways that we can save lives, that we can change the gun culture. It is just too easy for people to reach for a gun to settle their problems. It makes no sense. She goes on to state, I was proud when my husband, Bill Clinton, took the National Rifle Association on. And we were able to ban assault weapons. But he had to put a sunset on it 10 years later, of course, because President George W. Bush wouldn't agree to reinstate them. So we've got to go after this. And here again, the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment. And I am going to make that case every chance I get. She says, I don't know enough details to tell you how we do it or how it would work. But also she stated that certainly the Australia example is worth looking at. Now, she's referring to the Australian program, which reduced the number of firearms in circulation, by implementing a gun buyback plan for citizens. So you understand what she's saying here. That she said, I think it's worth the Australian plan looking into that, which created, like I said, this great big buyback, gun buyback program from its citizens. So if you look at the candidates on guns, gun control, one is pro-gun, one is anti-gun. Let's talk about immigration, a real hot topic in the news today. Who's going to close our borders and who wants open borders? That's what we're dealing with here. It's a huge issue right now. And according to the prophecies of the Bible, globalization, which is leading us into a one world governing body, to build a wall would to be a go against that system. To remove the borders would be to flow right along with the process of globalization, leading us into a one world governing body. We have to understand where they stand on immigration. So Trump says, I'm going to build a great, great wall. He says, you cannot have illegal immigration. You just can't have it. You don't have a country if you have that. As has been stated continuously in the press, people are pouring across our borders unabated. Public reports routinely state that great amounts of crime are being committed by illegal immigrants. This has got to be stopped, and it must be stopped now. Trump said, I will build a great wall, a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. So it's in no uncertain terms, you know where Trump stands on immigration. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, has stated, we will not build a wall. She states, I'm not going to build a wall. Mrs. Clinton made a statement, she made that statement concerning Syrian refugees, or this statement. She states, we're facing the worst refugee crisis since the end of World War II, and I think the United States has to do more. I would like to see us move from what is a good start with 10,000 to 65,000 incoming refugees and begin immediately to put in place the mechanisms for vetting the people that we would take in. Now, she goes on to state, I would stop deportations of the undocumented, which when somebody says undocumented, that means illegal people living in our country. She said, I would stop the deportations of that. She states, I do not want to see them deported. I want to see them on a path to citizenship. And that's exactly what I will do. So rather than make people who are illegal leave, she wants to see them on a path to citizenship at the end of the day. Immigration is huge in the news right now, and you need to understand where each candidate stands. Like I said, I know a lot of people are early voting already. And so I'm not telling you which way to vote. I'm simply going over the issues. Where do the candidates stand on each issue? Let's go to Obamacare. I think I've got finish that for the next break. Where does Trump stand on Obamacare? Well, he says he's going to repeal and replace Obamacare. When he was speaking at the Iowa Freedom Summit on January of 2015, Mr. Trump stated, someone has to repeal and replace Obamacare. Obamacare is a total catastrophe. It kicks in 2016, which we've already seen the rates are starting to go up, and it will be a disaster. People are closing shops. Doctors are quitting the business. And he actually states, I had a friend who was a doctor, and he said that he had more accountants trying to sort out Obamacare than he did patience. And he needs that because it's complicated and it's a terrible system. Trump states that we're going to repeal Obamacare and that we're going to replace Obamacare with something much, much better. On the other hand, Clinton states, I will defend the Affordable Care Act. She states, I will defend the Affordable Care Act, but as president, I want to go further. I want to strengthen the Affordable Care Act. You know, she goes on to state, you know, before it was called Obamacare, it was called Hillary Care. She says, I'm a staunch supporter of President Obama's principal accomplishment, namely the Affordable Care Act. So there you have it right there, that the immigration, Trump wants to build walls to defend our borders, and Hillary Clinton would like to have pretty much open borders, bring in all of these refugees, and I'm not going to deport any undocumented or illegal workers. And so it's a big difference here. In other words, the candidates this year are as diametrically opposed to each other as any I've ever seen. I mean, they're just completely opposed to each other's stances on these issues. And so it's very key that you understand where each candidate stands on the issues. And so before I get to the break, let me kind of summarize what we're talking about here today. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton running for the President of the United States. Each one or the other of them will get elected November 8th, will know who it is, and then they will serve a 4, possibly an 8-year term. They will appoint 2, 3, possibly 4 Supreme Court justices, which, as you've seen over the past several years, how important the Supreme Court is. And so it can decide the fate of a nation almost, the direction that they take on huge issues, same-sex marriage. Over the past couple years, they legalized same-sex marriage in all 50 states in the United States of America. And so it's very critical that we understand the issues, not just go in there and vote haphazardly. Understand the issues. Where does each candidate stand to know how to vote? And how you, which direction you want the nation to go, then that's how you vote. So I wanted you to understand the issues on today's program. If you'd like a copy of my notes, today's program, drobbins@endtime.com.